The internet is a medium invented by scientists that now gives rumors unparalleled access to the public mind. After the Asian tsunami struck last month, images of the deadly waves flooded email accounts around the world. But many of the most spectacular pictures were fabricated. Then came the onslaught of internet rumors about what caused the tsunami and whether donor nations had ulterior motives for sending aid to the victims. Henry Farrell teaches political science at George Washington University and technology policy. He's written about internet rumors for the latest Foreign Policy magazine. The article is titled Web of Influence. Professor Farrell, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
After the tsunami hit, there were, I think I speak for a lot of people who say that I got emails that seemed to suggest that there were exacerbating tensions between Sri Lanka and Israel. Let me put it that way.
That's an interesting story. And as far as I understand, this is a story which had its origins in a couple of newspaper stories, which then were picked up by a number of bloggers and circulated and then relatively swiftly corrected. And I have to preface this by saying I'm not an expert either on Middle Eastern politics or in the politics of the region which was hit by the tsunami. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is that the Israeli Defense Forces offered the Sri Lankan authorities some help, which was then refused by the Sri Lankan authorities. Now, this was taken by some bloggers and indeed by some media sources, to my understanding, mm-hmm. as an indication of Sri Lankan bias against Israel, that in fact doesn't seem to have been the story. The reason why the Sri Lankans had in fact refused the offer of aid from Israel was simply for organizational and logistic reasons. And certainly it does appear that the Sri Lankan authorities and other authorities in the region have indeed been receiving aid from Israel and gratefully accepting it in the interim.
Did the corrections catch up with the initial assertions?
To some extent, yes. And the more responsible ones indeed did correct the original story. There were a couple of very much minority blogs which have a strongly anti-Arab, anti-Muslim bias, which actually did not correct the story. There have always been these kinds of misinformation out there, in a sense. And they have been certainly on other media, such as talk radio, and indeed the mainstream media, I don't think, have been by any means immune to this sort of stuff in the past. There is, I think, no doubt, nonetheless, that blogs actually have in some circumstances amplified this somewhat and amplified these rumours.
It's an old aphorism of newspapers, which, in fact, at this radio network, which I think has some... some validity, which is that the correction often doesn't catch up with the mistake. I mean, there's no guarantee that somebody that reads atomic testing caused this tsunami will read even a single knowledgeable response to it that says, don't be ridiculous.
Well, there is that problem. And on the one hand, I think blogs are slightly more effective than many mainstream media in actually dealing with this stuff. You can go back and you can correct your blog post when you find out that you've got a mistake, so that the correction and the original story, in a sense, stand side by side. But I think also, by the same token, there are a lot of rumours which go out there, which sometimes do not get corrected as well as they might. And I think very often you see that bloggers are extremely critical of the mainstream media and the mainstream media's willingness to correct facts, but sometimes tend to have their own partisan biases, distortions and so on, which don't necessarily go corrected as well as they might.
We have a former staff member who I think has just finished a sailing trip, who posts a blog with pictures and stuff. We have interviewed a scientist in the South Pole who has a blog, what he eats, which is, I guess, interesting if you're at a research station in the South Pole. But there are also people that post blogs that will tell you they had cornflakes for breakfast, and they're not seemingly living lives as at least as remarkable as that research scientist at the South Pole. What are some of the range of blogs that people keep?
Well, the range of blogs is pretty enormous. As far as I know, the best figures suggest that there are at least 6.2 million blogs out there. The vast majority of these blogs are like your friend at the South Pole. They're basically blogs by people detailing what cornflakes they had for breakfast, teenage girls talking about the ups and downs of their romantic lives, that sort of purely personal blog, which is maybe aimed at an audience of maybe 15 or 20 readers. Blogs are becoming part of the mainstream. The mainstream media are obviously paying more attention to them, but also we see more and more how politicians, for example, are seeking to influence blogs in order to try and influence the media by proxy.
Could you recommend a couple to us?
Yeah, I think on the left side of the spectrum, one blog which I like a lot is by a guy called Mark Schmidt. He's a political analyst, and he has a blog called The Decembrist, which is written from a centrist democratic perspective. On the right side of the spectrum, a guy called Greg Jajarian, who writes a blog called The Belgravia Dispatch, which is, I think, the most interesting, thoughtful defense of Bush's policies. And again, both of these blogs, I think, engage in a fair amount of, you know, sort of thoughtfulness. They're self-critical. They don't just jump in to defend this or that partisan point. I'm also fond of another blog, which is completely different from these two, which is Theresa Nielsen Hayden's Making Light blog. She's a editor for a New York publishing house and talks about a variety of subjects, Catholic saints, alligators, Mormon politics, pretty well everything, but I find it to be one of the warmest, most thoughtful, most intelligent examples of what discussion should be out there, and something which I would really very strongly recommend.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Henry Farrell teaches political science and technology policy at the George Washington University. You can find his blog recommendations at npr.org.